Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's men's basketball preview pod is brought to you by our friends at Carl Chevrolet. Next time you are looking to upgrade your vehicle, make sure and consider our friends at Carl Chevrolet in Ankeny. Iowa State taking on the Texas Longhorns Monday night at Hilton Coliseum. 8 p.m. tip, right?
No.
6 p.m.
I don't know.
Okay, so 6 p.m.
It's an early game. It's like 5 or 6.
Okay, so it's sometime in the evening on January 1st in Ames, Iowa. That's what we know for sure. But the Cyclones obviously coming off of a loss to Kansas State in their Big 12 season opener. And now they get to face the Longhorns, who get put a little bit of a scare into the Kansas Jayhawks on Saturday. Chris Williams, I'm going to bring you in here, talk a little bit about Iowa State before we jump into the Longhorns too much. I guess I know you didn't really get to do an instant reaction after the game on Friday. How do you feel about Iowa State after that game?
Well, you know, I think it's worth noting, I think Kansas State's the best team they've played all year, believe it or not. My biggest reaction to that game is the fact that Iowa State is rebuilding this year in a year where the Big 12 maybe is deep and it is as deep as we've ever seen it. I don't know if it's as good as we've ever seen it. We've seen those years, you know, when like Kevin Durant and Blake Griffin. I mean, the Big 12 really had a peak back then as far as talent goes. But I don't think it's ever been this deep. I mean, there's no easy out this year. There's no TCU. There's no Texas Tech where, you know, back in the day you could get those, you could kind of chalk those as getting four wins, you know, in the season. And there's no team like that now. So I think it's worth noting, like, that we all just have a reality check here that this is a rebuilding year. And we just acknowledge that to begin with, despite the fact that Iowa State put itself in NCAA tournament contention after its non-conference. But, you know, just because you did that doesn't mean that you're going to go 9-9 or 10-8 in the league this year. And they still can't. Yeah. You know, like, losing that one game doesn't – and they did it without Hans Brace. To me, that's – I mean, to look at this specific game tomorrow, I want to know if Hans Brace is going to play. Because if he's not, I'll let you analyze Texas more because you know more about them than I do. But this team, let's look at it. The four games it's played without Hans Brace is 1-3. In one of those games, they struggled against a terrible Maryland Eastern Shore team. So I can't put my finger on it. If Hans specifically is that valuable, I don't even know if he is, but I do know that that extra piece in the lineup certainly is. And Iowa State has missed him greatly, and they've got to have him back. I don't know if he's going to play or not. If he doesn't, I think they'll start 0-2.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree, and I think, you know, obviously I didn't get to watch the game on Friday as closely as I normally do. It's on my DVR at home. Full disclosure, we're recording this in the car on the way home from Memphis. But, I mean, defensively, that's where you have to be the most disappointed with Iowa State's performance against Kansas State. They're able to score 50 points in the first half at Hilton. You're still trailing.
Yeah.
And then you give up a career-high number of points to Dean Wade, who's the best player Kansas State has. I think he had 34, yeah. And he was incredibly efficient, and they were able to get open shots, especially in the second half, almost all night. I think that having Hans, is he's just like the anchor for you as much as anything else. And, you know, we've talked about how so much that you don't see what he does show up on the stat sheet that much, but what he brings with his presence, you can just see that they really missed that Friday night. And when you're going up against a team like Texas that is very capable of putting up a lot of points, they've got some size in the middle that is, frankly, elite. And, I mean, if you don't have that leader, that guy that is just your rock, kind of, then it can be a serious struggle.
Yeah, and the one thing about Hans, and I don't think it's as important as it was, you know, when we went to Myrtle Beach and Iowa State was at 0-2. But Hans is a leader. And if you watch Iowa State on the floor, he's constantly talking. He's kind of a coach on the floor. And And I think that other guys have established themselves as that. You know what I think Hans does? This just came to my mind. I think Hans does a good job of keeping some other guys in check. And not even in a bad way. I just, not like an ego way. That sounds worse than what I meant it. What I mean by that is, I feel like when Hans is on the floor, Donovan Jackson plays smarter basketball. I think he just bleeds that into his teammates. I think Nick Weiler-Babb is a better point guard when Hans Brace is on the floor. We'll see. I do think that we're, I honestly think that we're overplaying the importance of Hans Brace, like, as an individual, but that's a missing piece that just, you know what I'm,
yeah.
It's kind of like, in a very weird way, we've talked so much about Ray Lima on football and, you know, how Ray's presence there allows everybody else to shine. Yeah, at the end of the game, Ray doesn't have a ton of great stats to show for it. Right. And Hans makes everybody else better on the court, if that makes sense.
Well, I think it's probably hard not to overplay it when you look at the way that they've played in the games when he hasn't been there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned, obviously, the Missouri game was a complete disaster. The Milwaukee game, also a complete disaster. The Maryland Eastern Shore game bordered on being a disaster at times. And then Kansas State was a disaster, at least in the second half. And it's like I mentioned, I mean, we know that this team can score the basketball. They did it at a high level on Friday night. And the other thing I think that we're, you know, discounting a little bit from that game is when you only have seven players in the Big 12, you're just you can't win that way, you know? And that's just tough.
Yeah, I don't like using this reference because people can make it violent and political, but I don't know what's – he just doesn't have a lot of bullets in the gun right now. You know, there's not a lot of ammunition for Steve. Here's the deal. I was explaining this to – I met with some Cyclone fans after the game last night, and we were talking about basketball. Like, I don't know how you could watch it now and be, like, too jaded, though. Like, there's clearly talent there.
Yeah.
And Prohm's going to, there's no doubt in my mind Steve will coach these guys up in the Big 12. They're not going to go 0-18 in the league. Like, it's not. And I'm still, even the other night, like, happy with this season so far. Believe it or not. I know, granted, I think I have much lower expectations for this group than most fans did. But you're right about the seven guys. I mean, but the seven guys who have played really played pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
The defense was terrible the other night. I agree. I do suspect that Steve will get them rallied, and that will be something that they have probably been working really hard on the last few days. But you know what? It's still a young – you can't forget it's a young team. And what a young teams generally lack, even when they have a ton of talent like Iowa State does, it's consistency.
Yeah.
And they played consistently there for a while. And they've really fallen off the last two games. So they got to. I hate saying must win when you have 16 games left, but that's an important game on Monday night. You don't want to start 0-2 in the league, especially at home.
And the thing about the defense is that, you know, we've seen flashes of what they can do as a group. I mean, they've had some good games where they played really well defensively, but you always hear this, especially like in football, when a team, when their defense comes, you know, if they get a new coach or something and their defense all of a sudden gets considerably better than their offense does, like that's almost always when a new coach comes in, you'll see that offense be the one that takes off first before the defense, you know.
Yeah.
And when you have young teams in basketball, college basketball especially, I think that it's that way too. You have to have guys that are experienced in playing at this level that know what it takes, the intensity, possession in, possession out, to play play high-level defense in college basketball. And right now, Iowa State, you know, they have a couple guys that have been there, but even then, those guys didn't have to play enough minutes to where, I mean, now Nick Weiler-Babb's playing damn near 35, 40 minutes a game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Nick Weiler-Babb's played more already this season than he has his entire career, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Cam, Terrence, and Lindell, as optimistic as we all should be about them, the college season's so much longer. You know, like, they're at the point right now where – as far as I know, AAU is year round and all that stuff, but like they're to grind. It is a grind. Like, so they've got to have a guy to like, you know, rally them, and we'll see. I have a lot of I don't think this is an NCAA tournament team. You know, I thought after the UNI game, I wrote and I said they put themselves in position if they do it in the Big 12. I never would have put any amount of money that they would go to the NCAA tournament. However, I still think Prohm is really good with this type of a team. You're going to see improvement. I still think it's going to be a really fun season at Hilton Coliseum.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then,
Texas.
Yeah, I was just going to say, looking at Texas, I mean, this is going to be the first of several games in this Big 12 season where there's going to be some guys that come in and play that are going to be very, very high level NBA draft picks in June's draft. I mean, obviously, Trae Young, everybody knows about him. He was phenomenal again yesterday against TCU, a double-double with his points and assists again. But Mo Bamba, the big man for Texas, I don't know. I didn't look up his height or anything, but he, I mean, he's 7 feet tall, athletic. The thing that always sticks with me is that I saw a gif of him where he was going up to dunk a ball, and it looked, and his armpit was in the rim. And at 7 feet tall, if you can put your armpit in the rim, then you are a what I would call a freak. And he's at.
Can I ask you a quick question about him? Yeah. Just what you've seen, like scouting him. I barely watched him play. I've been so immersed in football this year. It's just like I'm kind of still getting into basketball mode. Is so like 7-footers don't have much of a place in the NBA these days. They just don't. Mm-hmm. Unless they can like run the floor and shoot and all. So is he that type of guy?
He's a run the floor guy, but right now he's like 4 for 21 from three.
Okay.
So he's not a shooter.
Yeah.
But he's more of like a, I don't know. I mean, I think that they probably think he can develop a three-point shot. I mean, Joel Embiid didn't shoot the three at Kansas, you know?
Yeah.
But I was looking at – but he also doesn't have, like, an elite post game like some of those other guys do. And it's interesting. Right now there's three guys who I would consider to be big guys that are in, like, that top six of probably next year's draft. Ayton at Arizona and Marvin Bagley at Duke. And it was weird. I was looking at NBADraft.net, and they have him going to the Kings. And the Kings already have, like, six guys that are 7 feet that can't shoot the ball and aren't overly skilled offensively. So I'm not sure how that would really fit together. But that's a completely different conversation. But, I mean, he's a guy that's just a physical presence that they have not seen in the middle of the lane this season. And he's so long and he's so athletic that it's going to make it really difficult for Lindell and Nick and those guys that are going to be getting in the paint to, you know, really be able to make an impact, because he's going to be there blocking shots and altering shots at a level that they have not seen yet this year.
Yeah. Let's talk about Iowa State's line of defense there. As far as defending him.
Uh-huh.
I mean,
like I said, he's not like a guy that you're going to throw it to on the block and let him go to work, you know?
Okay, so you don't think that he has the ability to do that against Solomon or Cam?
Well, I think he can a little bit, but he's just not like I don't think that when people or NBA scouts and stuff like that watch him, I don't think that what jumps off the film about him is his ability to post up and just go to work.
You're saying the rim protection is the aspect of his game.
It's the rim protection. It's the athleticism, the strength at such a young age already that I think is what really impresses people. And then I think that there's the potential for him to be a really good offensive player. But just right now, you know, he's not there yet. And, you know, the other guys that the Longhorns have, Andrew Jones, I'm not sure what he is, where he's at right now. I know that he had missed some games with a wrist injury, I think. And I think he's missed the last couple games. I'm not sure if he played against Kansas. But I would think that here in the not-so-distant future, he'll be getting back for Shaka Smart's team. And then Matt Coleman, Lindell Wigginton's teammate at Oak Hill is their point guard. He's a guy that has been has played pretty well for them. They have four guys that are averaging in double figures. Kerwin Roach is a guy that's kind of interesting to me. When he first got to Texas, I think that just about everybody expected him to be someone that was going to be with Shaka Smart's team for a year, maybe two. And it seems like he's been around for a long time now, but he's a guy that's been one of their top scorers. And I mean, I don't know. They have the ability to put up points. They're 2-0 in the games that they played on the road this year, and their losses are to obviously Duke, who's one of the best teams in the country, Gonzaga, who is consistently one of the best teams in the country, Michigan, who's not as good as they were last year, but they're still a solid team, and then Kansas, and we all know what Kansas is at this point. So, you know, they played some stiff competition, and they played all of those games tough. The two losses to Duke and Gonzaga were both in overtime, and I don't know, man. I mean, I think that Bamba's going to be a tough matchup for Iowa State, but I think it's going to be tougher on the for Iowa State offensively than it will be for Iowa State defensively, and then it's just going to be trying to limit those guards that Texas has. I mean, they only shoot like 29% from three as a team. Like, they're not a good three-point shooting team, but they are really good at getting out and running and being able to attack the rim.
Well, I'm just looking right now. Texas is favored by three on KenPom.
Okay.
Vegas doesn't have a line out, but that's usually a pretty good indication as to where Vegas would go. I'm guessing that Iowa State will be a 3 to 4 point underdog. Mm-hmm. You have better analysis on it than me. I mean, I told you what I think of Iowa State. I think they'll lose.
I think they'll lose as well.
Yeah, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope they surprise me. I think they will. Because even if Hans plays, I can't imagine he's going to be
100%.
And it's just like, what are you getting from him? And the problem is you're staring at a road trip to Oklahoma State on Saturday, which is winnable, but it's still a road trip, you know. And then you get Kansas after that. You got two road games. And so, like, this is an important game, man. Mm-hmm. This is the most important game they play. Other than that Appalachian State game, for real, it sounds crazy. But when they were 0-2 and you just lost at home to Milwaukee.
Right.
Like, to me, that was the most important game of the season up until now. And this is a crucial one, and hopefully Prohm gets some turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, Coach Prohm will have been riding those guys pretty hard here the last couple days after that performance that they had against Kansas State. Are we going to do a predictions thing for tomorrow?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, so we'll get that posted this evening or probably tomorrow morning. But, I mean, yeah, I think if Iowa State can figure out a way to shore up what they did defensively compared to how they played against Kansas State, you know, they can make it a good game. I'm honestly surprised that it only has Texas by three, honestly, on KenPom, but I guess that is what it is.
I'll tell you this. That seems fairly optimistic compared to what else I'm looking at right now as far as KenPom projections for the rest of the year.
What does it have Iowa State finishing in Big 12 play?
4-14. However, he does not have Iowa State favored in any specific game the rest of the way.
Okay. Well,
and like, for real, these are some real numbers, though. Right now, KenPom has Iowa State only a 22% chance of beating Texas Tech at home.
Wow.
TCU at home, or TCU away, a 14% chance of winning that game. Baylor at home, only a 40% chance of winning that game. TCU on the road, or TCU at home, only a 32% chance of winning.
Who trusts KenPom that much anyway? You know, I mean, is he really even that credible of a guy?
You know what? Like, it looked a lot worse than this after they lost to Milwaukee, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But KenPom generally gets better the deeper you get into the season.
Yeah, I was just kidding.
But, yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, like, I'll take the 3-point deficit right now. Let's go see what they can do with it.
I guess we're going to see. I think they'll be fired up. I'm sure that Iowa State fans will be fired up as well when they file into Hilton Coliseum coming off of everything that happened in Memphis last week. You got anything else?
No, I'm good, man. You and Rob are going to cover the game. I'm going to stay at home with my little girl and see, Cammy got this sick dollhouse that took me 5 hours to put together, and then the poor thing still hasn't been able to play with it because I've been gone and she's been out. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to watch the game at home with my family, and we'll be back. I'll be back. I think you're going to take Tuesday off, but we'll back to the grind, baby.
Yep. Planning to do a CFTV live at some point early on in the week with Jeff Woody. Make sure and stay tuned to Cyclone Fanatic and Twitter throughout the early part of the week to get more details on that. And yeah, like Chris said, we'll be back and on the grind here when we get back to Central Iowa here in a couple hours, and hopefully we can see Iowa State come out with a win tomorrow night at Hilton Coliseum. We'll have our predictions column posted at least by tomorrow morning. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks again to Carl Chevrolet for being the presenting sponsor of this men's basketball preview podcast. This should be the last of our stuff from the road here on the way home from Memphis, and we will talk to you guys again soon.